Good afternoon, Jules fans. We are trialling a new pod called Jules and the Blood Injury Time. It is Stocky here on Twitter, StockyD_14, and joined by Boz.
Evening.
How you doing, Boz?
Yeah, all right. We're quite comfortable, aren't we?
We're out of our depth here, aren't we?
A little bit, yeah. Which is a bit of trial and error.
Yeah, very much trial and error. One of the main reasons we're doing it, first of all, we love podcasts, don't we?
Yeah, we're fans of Peter Crouch, aren't we?
Yeah, Peter Crouch.
Under the cosh.
Magic Sponge.
Quickly Kevin, yeah.
They're quite good to listen to when you go for runs, aren't they, Boz?
Yeah, or if you're just generally bored, you know?
You're always listening to podcasts when you go out for runs, aren't you?
I was.
Yeah. What happened the other day? I went out for a run. What was you eating?
I might have been eating a McDonald's, but that's neither here nor there, is it?
So, basically, we do Jules and Blood TV. I thought we'd branch out, break into the open market, and go down the podcast route.
A little bit concerned that Matt's trust is to start with this, because I think he's only going to jump in if it goes well.
Yeah, he's not put his name forward to it as of yet, although it is called Jules and Blood Injury Time as a kind of trial period. For good reason, that name as well.
Was it? I thought I came up with it.
Yeah?
I thought I came up with it.
I didn't say you did come up with it. I said the name was good. Because, you know, we've all been injured at one point.
Yeah.
Or another, all three of us.
Yeah.
Some of us bang on about it more than others, don't they?
Some of us are a little bit more crippled than others, yeah.
You never mention it, though. That's the important
thing. I don't mention it, no.
No. So this could go really well or really bad, and if it goes forward, then like you say, Matt will probably jump on it and no doubt take the credit, even though we're the two brains behind the whole Jules and the Blood TV operation. And
he's the face, we're the brains.
He's the face, hat and beard of the whole operation. We're just basically the shit ITV2 show. Where,
what did you just call us? What was it?
Like the Extra Factor. They just have these few idiots that need a job.
Basically, they just need a little bit of screen time.
So yeah, a little bit of screen time.
We're having a little bit of air time.
Yeah, and it's a bit more adult as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
A bit more industrial language, so probably not best for the younger viewers. Right, so primarily it's going to be about Jules, because that's all we know. We're not going to bring you any hard-hitting conversations about Brexit or anything of a serious nature, because we haven't got a clue. Before we move on to the Jules talk, we're taking over the world, me and you, aren't we?
Slowly but surely, yes.
We have moved in together, so Jules and the Blood are now near enough under one roof.
We've got HQ now.
Yeah, other than Matt. Yeah. Matt's not here.
Matt is literally 30 seconds around the corner, so it's not that far for him.
Yeah,
but yeah, so we are currently sat on our sofa in our living room, in our pants.
Not quite. Don't ruin the image. So we've been moved in about a week now.
Yeah.
How are you finding it?
Yeah, it's very loud living with you, I'll be honest.
Yeah, we're slowly making it into the living room that we're currently in. We've got a Jules shirt up on the wall.
We can just describe it. On our walls at the moment, we have a Jules signed shirt from the open day, which needs to be framed at the moment, just on a coat hanger.
Like a student.
We have a DVD racket on the wall that's got Jules DVDs on that purchased down the years. And on the other wall, we have a Jules clock. So basically, this is Jules in the Blood. HQ,
it's like a museum at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's looking good. First week's been all right, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You've managed to start locking doors, which is
because the first couple of days I decided just to let people in the house. So,
yeah, why not? Absolutely, why not?
Yeah.
Right, so as I said, primarily going to be about Jules. We're going to have a bit of a football chat in general later on. So we'll start off the Jules chat. We both went to the Player of the Year,
We did.
For the first time since being supporters.
Yeah, I think it's going to become a more regular thing now.
Yeah, definitely. We enjoyed it, didn't we?
Well, I did.
What do you mean you did? Well, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you enjoyed it for different reasons.
Yeah, it was a good night, wasn't it?
So for anyone that was there, we'll know that the drinks were flowing, the players were pretty generous, particularly Tom Hughes and Mark Byrne with us, buying us drinks. I think we went in to eat about 8 o'clock, didn't we?
I don't know.
We paid £60 for the privilege. I think I had 2 bread rolls. You had 2 starters.
I had pate, yeah.
Yeah. None of us had any mains or desserts because while the chairman was talking for his award, we got a little bit bored and decided to go to the bar.
Yeah.
At that point, you were already a little bit giggly. You then went to the toilet, and 90 minutes later, me and Matt realised you weren't with us anymore.
No.
So we came to check on you, and there you were hugging a toilet.
Yes, you do, and that's where I spent the rest of the night, pretty much, didn't I? Think, I missed all the awards.
Yeah, I think you were in there for, it's like 9:45 till 10:50.
Yeah, something like that. Then came out very white.
Yeah, texting us at 11 o'clock asking who won the awards. I've known you now, close to 20, 25 years, and I've never seen you look like that in my life. I was genuinely a little bit concerned for you.
It's the pictures that I took when we was on the dance floor, and Barry Fuller was dancing with us, and Phil Carrick, the media guy, at Jill's, and I'm taking a photo, but I look scared.
Yeah,
the
you
camera.
Look more scared than anyone.
Yeah, but it was a good night, though. Like you say, we'll definitely make it a regular thing, I'd like to hope.
And, yeah, maybe next time you'll remember some of it.
Yeah, probably refrain from drinking too much. But somehow, after that stupid night where we drank too much, we did make it up the next day for the family fun day.
We did. Good bit of publicity for the club. Free publicity.
Yeah, exactly. I think I read that 5,500 fans passed through there.
It's like a normal home game, yeah.
Exactly. It's weird, but it's a good opportunity, isn't it, for, you know, local kids in the area. Go meet.
And there was some what I'd call like casual supporters, like a guy we used to go with a few years back was out there. He can't get out there much now.
Oh yeah.
But he was there. There's quite a few people there who probably just went along because it was free and because it was close to him. But it paints a club in a good light. Might bring him back in next season. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. Puts the pressure on then for the kids to say to their parents, oh, "I want to come see a game here next year." And
yeah.
You know, get to meet the players and everything.
It wasn't just meet the players, was it? There was I think there was a couple of little youth games going on. There was beer tents, there was ice cream, there was bouncy castles for the kids.
And you.
Yeah, and me. yeah, it was a good day. We spoke to all the players, didn't we? We got every one of them to sign a shirt.
Yeah, managed to get our shirt signed.
Spoke to Mr. Scally briefly after he was interrogated the night before by Matt and a host of other fans.
Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah.
I remember getting a message when I was in the toilet saying, yeah, Scally's being...
yeah, I think I texted you and put, if you could see Matt now, he's right in Scally's face.
Right in Scally's face.
Beer going everywhere. Yeah, it was a good night. Yeah, and the open day was a good day. Everyone was nice and friendly. Even some of the coaches, James Russell was there speaking with people.
Yeah, we had a good chat with him.
Yeah.
Mind you, like, we say credit to us for making it there.
Credit to some of the players.
Credit to some of the players. Some of the players that we spoke to was off. Yeah,
so
still,
the one who was most still drunk by my reckoning, by my memory, was Dean Parrott.
Yeah,
who almost got drunk just talking to him. Mark Byrne, on the other hand, who was sinking Guinnesses with us the night before, and then they all went out in Mays and apparently didn't get until 3 or 4 in the morning. Yeah. Mark Byrne looked fresh as a freaking daisy.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, you would
have
loved
it. He
looked
happy to
out.
See us as well.
Yeah,
didn't
he came straight over and asked how our heads were.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the thing as well. As you said, we met all the players. Literally, you told every player what had happened to me the night
before.
Yeah,
because
well.
Most of them recognised us, and I wanted to make sure they knew that actually you spent the night in the toilet.
Yeah, so that's great for them to know.
I'm sure they'll all, you know, Mark Burns going to his stag do. Is it next week or the week after?
Is it 10th?
Yeah, it's coming up, isn't it?
You said he was shouting at me at one point because I was on my phone and he was asking
me
for a drink.
He was asking you what you wanted to drink. You were on your phone, and in the end, he almost knocked it out of your hand. So, I mean, yeah.
That was good though, like, it was even speaking to like being that close to players and just having a general
chat.
Yeah,
just talking just stuff in general, not even just about football, just life.
Yeah.
Now we know Mark Byrne's getting married soon. We know he's going to Portugal on his stag do. Like.
He didn't invite us to the wedding, finally.
He didn't. Like, or the stag do. I don't know why that was.
Exactly.
But no, it was good. And a lot of the players, I know, as I say again, you were in the toilet, but a lot of the players came to us to talk. Me and Matt were talking to Bradley Garnes and Callum Riley for a good 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Tom Hadler came over for a chat as well. There was a fair few. Listy made a point, so Luke O'Neill promised us shots and then we didn't see him again.
And now
he's leaving, so
brilliant.
We won't be getting them shots, will we?
That's not happened, has it?
I think Matt can take the credit for that one. When he was talking to Pato before the awards, and he asked Pato, who do you think is going to win the Player of the Year? And he said, I'm not sure yet. Luke O'Neill walked past. And our semi-drunk Matt went, well, he won't be in, will he? He's been rubbish all season. And then apologised to Luke immediately. So
the best thing of that whole weekend, though, without a doubt, for me, like, not meeting the players, not having pictures of Tom Eames, is by far Regan Charles
Cook yes.
laugh. I heard it briefly on that night. And then the next day at the fun day, I pulled him up on it. I heard him laughing a few times again. And I was just like, I want that. If this pod goes somewhere, if we can make the opening part of this pod just Regan Charles Cook laugh.
Well, you say that. We don't have a doorbell in this house. I mean, if we could put his laugh as our doorbell.
Yeah. His laugh is just excellent. I just
don't
know.
It's pretty different, yeah.
Yeah. I just find it hard to
and
describe.
He laughed at the fact that you thought it was funny, and it was just a constant backwards and forwards, you and him laughing at each other.
Yeah, that's what you want, though. It's a decent laugh. Right, let's try and get a bit more serious.
Yeah, so okay, so no more drinks.
This is probably going to be the general antic of the podcast.
We're just going to go off on a tangent.
Going off on a tangent, talking a load of rubbish, which we tend to do anyway, but if people want to listen to it, then feel free. Right, so we kind of touched upon it earlier. Luke O'Neill's left. There's a few others that have gone in the meantime. So Luke O'Neill, Billy Bingham, Coach Ian Cox, and youngsters Huckle and Louis Catherall. So any surprises, starting off with the two senior pros out of them two, Bingham and O'Neill?
What I will say is the club haven't announced they retained this yet, and they're getting a lot of stick for it on Twitter. as it is at the moment, players, like you say, have only announced it themselves. Luke O'Neill, I think he's probably got something lined up because he didn't travel to Blackpool, did he?
The way it looks like. You'd think the fact that he didn't travel on that last day against Blackpool, and then he's very quickly kind of announced that he's going.
Yeah, but there is talk online of Peterborough. How true that is, I know it's closer to where he's from. Cause he's from Leicester originally.
I thought he was an Essex boy.
No, he's Leicester originally.
Oh, fair enough.
Luke O'Neill, he's not been released so much. He's just decided off his own back that it's time to move on. That's fair enough. He's been good for us, I think.
Yeah, some cracking free kicks.
And Luton away was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think he improved towards the back end of last season as well, like after he had that spell out of the team with Fuller as the right back. Once he kind of got back in, he didn't really put too many feet wrong, in my opinion.
No.
So it is a shame to see him go, because is Barry, as good as Barry Fuller's obviously been, is he going to be, would you say, his first choice right back? I don't know.
I think he probably, and the still players come in, we don't really know, do we?
Yeah.
We don't know who the new manager's going to be yet still. We don't know who's coming in. There's still more players are going to leave.
Because the thing with Fuller, like obviously he's been brilliant in quality, but you know, he's getting older. He's the first to admit that.
He said to us, didn't he? But when he came in last season, Lovell said to him, you know, I want you in for your experience to help the young lads, you know, you'll play. But he said Lovell gave him the impression he's going to be a backup, and he said to him, I'll prove you wrong and I will start games.
Could he go down the player coach route? Because he wasn't he coaching at Ashford?
Yeah, I don't know if he's got a school or he's just a coach down at Ashford. There's something going on down there.
Well, didn't he tweet something along the lines of like something about his next coaching adventure, and then he had the eye emoji? What's the emoji called with the, like, the raised eyes?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I know which one you mean, but I'm not sure what it's called.
So that could be at Jules, never know.
that really depends on who we bring in. Like, Luke O'Neill go, it means we have to at least bring in one now.
Yeah. Other only senior player to announce himself that he's leaving at the moment, Billy Bingham.
Yeah, see, Bingham, I was kind of on the fence with. I was looking at him and Lacey when I saw what his contracts were up. Very similar injury records, I think. It's just bad luck with both of them. But
for me,
if you're going to take a chance on one or the other, and I would have taken a chance on Bingham.
Yeah, I would have taken.
Because I feel like he has a bigger impact when he plays. And Alex Lacey, no disrespect to him, but I constantly forget he plays for us.
Yeah, he's not out there much. And like you say, he always seems to be breaking down. Billy Bingham, like you say, when he's in the team, he is quality. He keeps that midfield ticking over, and everyone can kind of do their own jobs. And it's only when he's not in the team that you kind of shunt in players in that position a bit, aren't you? And I think Burn had done all right there towards the back end of last season.
Yeah, I think towards the end of the season,
Think he really wants to play there.
When I said to Burn, like, I don't see he's a holding player, I think you're a box to box, and he slapped me on the back. And went, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, there's a lot of people on Twitter trying to label him as this box as this ball winning like holding player, and he's not.
Well, you know, you've got Berners back in. There's a vacancy at the moment, which we'll get onto in due course. But there you go, you could have Berners back in for a certain job there.
Yeah.
Obviously, Huckle and Catherall, we don't know.
Don't know, great. I've seen Huckle a couple of times in pre-season. I haven't seen Catherall, I don't think, at all.
No, but...
Did he play at Sheppey last season, maybe?
I think
he might have done.
He did, yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, Huckle, I thought, was a good size, but... You just think... You
might just need to fill out a bit and just maybe a few years in kind of Kent league football. And
similar to Huckle, Mitchell Dickinson got released two or three seasons ago now. He's just... I know he's dropped down.
He's higher.
There's non-conference South sides, I think, looking at the other day. A couple of conference national clubs. So, I mean, it's not always the end of the world to get released and go down and work your way back up. Conor Exon did it, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, a lot of them, even when they're with us, they go on loan to these kind of teams anyway. So, you know, it kind of makes sense.
I mean, he's in a similar boat to Jack Tucker, isn't he? I think Tucker's a little bit younger. So you wonder if maybe if Tucker's highly rated more highly, maybe Huckle's decided, well, I'm going to be behind him, maybe I'll leave.
Yeah, but
it does seem like there's someone behind the scenes making decisions, don't it?
Yeah, it seems like obviously something's going on because
for Cox to leave as well, that would surprise me. Yeah,
kind of read from his tweet that he didn't really want to go, did he? Kind of out of his hands a bit, so it kind of indicates that there's a possible manager coming in, and obviously there's the big vacancy that everyone wants filled, and the Jewels have advertised it.
There is
the Harpist.
One of the most silliest posts I've ever read.
It just sums up the club at times, don't it? Players out of contract.
Yeah, so I get there's people tweeting the club saying, you know, you haven't even announced a manager yet, you're advertising for a Harpist. Let's be honest, we've been going to football now nearly 20 years, a pair of us.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought, you know what really makes his atmosphere better? We should get a bloody Harpist in.
We do need someone pulling the strings.
Yeah, well done. We're it. He's here all week.
That's killed it. It's not getting better than that.
No. I know we tried a drum a few years back, and that lasted, I think, one game before people moaned about it.
At what point is this, like, on the pitch, or is it...
Is it just being played, like, through the stage of speakers?
I don't quite know. Is it like
a cup final where someone comes out before kick-off?
But is it, like, just a corporate thing? You know, like, they have the meals and that in the boxes. Is it just for that bit? I don't know, like... We're still waiting for that massive flag that Scally promised us a few years ago.
Not only that, last season, we were told we could get season ticket cars, which me and Matt both went for.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mr. Scally, it's been 12 months, I've still not heard back about that.
It's been 15 years, we've still got that temporary stand.
Still looking for reinvestment, Paul. It's only been 20 plus years.
Oh, we're still waiting for all the kids' clubs and other age-appropriate things that they've got going on as well.
Oh, Harpist, man. That's one of the sillier things that I've seen come out of the club.
There's a time and a place, and it could
have... I don't think there is for a Harpist.
Well, I know, but...
an orchestra, maybe.
Could have waited a few weeks, couldn't it, rather than doing it like when we've got no manager and players are leaving. So, on to the manager. Yeah. Obviously, the name on everyone's lips and the name that was being branded around on the Player of the Year do.
KFC are licking their lips at the thought of it.
And the shipping trades as well, by all accounts. Another thing that I don't really get, if you're talking to a potential manager, you've got the club, you've got the stadium, the training ground. You've got a bar
at the stadium.
Yeah, you've got plenty of space at the club to have a private and confidential meeting, and a bit of a weird one.
You were seen by two or three different people, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know we spoke about it before the season ended, we didn't want Evans in. But almost every other target we mentioned has now joined another club, which says to me there is only one man coming.
Yeah, it's hard though because we don't want him in, but at the same time we support the club, so
it's kind of
have to get behind him in a way. But his name would never be.
Stumbled to get around him, wouldn't
he? Yeah, he would. His name would never be sung.
No, I don't think it will.
I think he could win the league, and I don't think his name would be sung.
No, I think. I just can't see the egos of Steve Evans and Paul Scally lasting very long.
No. I mean, he's probably going to want money as well, you think, which...
Well...
From that side of it, you actually think, well, if a manager's coming in that normally spends money, you kind of think...
You kind of hope that we've got some.
Yeah, this could be interesting.
Otherwise, it's going to go very wrong.
But then we're going to become one of them teams that people hate, aren't they?
I hate watching Steve Evans teams because, generally, they're just dirty. I've seen it on... vlogs before with Matt and when we played Peterborough and Rotherham down
here. Well, even when we played them last year, there was like the kick-off on the bench, wasn't there, with like Evans and Rayner.
Yeah, didn't sent off,
I think Patterson got booked or something like that as well. So, yes, we're going to become one of them teams. I mean, we might win, but teams are going to hate us.
I don't think we're going to be pretty to watch, listening to what Peterborough fans have been saying and a few Rotherham as well. I just remember him being quite direct and we've played his teams before and they're very physical.
Yeah. Well, if he does join us, he won't be on the touchline for about four games, will he?
No, I think, is it a four-game ban he's got?
Like that, yeah.
Of course, there's the other one way of looking at it, is people are saying Paul Rayner could be the manager of Evans upstairs. Not for me. I don't know how to sort of that at all.
No, it just screams of he just eventually be in charge anyway. Like,
yeah,
is that a, because he's still under contract, isn't he? So I don't know how it works.
Somebody tweeted yesterday an article from January when Darren McCampney tweeted and said Evans is not under contract with us.
Oh, not under contract.
However, you know, tongue in cheek, Mr. Scally is telling us all about Player of the Year, that, well, he came out with some ludicrous comments while you were in the toilets. So obviously he mentioned
Evans. Brought it up again only for the thousandth time.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that Steve Evans was his first choice. He said, but it could be difficult because he was still under contract to Peterborough. He also said his second choice was Darryl Clarke, who's now gone to Walsall. I'm sure it's Walsall. He's just joined. In the league below us, personally, I'd have gone Paul Hurst. He's just gone to Scunthorpe in the league below us. one of Paul Scully's more ludicrous claims that was very laughable that night was he said, under Steve Evans, we'll be in the Championship in two seasons.
Mm.
Sorry, Paul, stop lying to yourself.
That's not happening. You're not speaking to the investors now.
No, yeah, exactly. We're not trying to put, you're not trying to get money out of us. You get our money every year as it is.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, sometimes that's where, you know, he doesn't do himself any favours. Just
his comments like that, they'll come back to bite him in the backside.
Just say nothing rather than making
stupid he didn't need to come out and tell us. I mean, we were hearing in the Blues bar, weren't we, before we went in, that it was going to be announced that night. And we were all saying, that's ludicrous. You can't do that in front of a room full of
drunk fans.
People who don't like him, yeah.
Yeah, especially those in the toilet.
Yeah. personally, for me, Steve Evans, I think he lives on his past glories. He hasn't done a lot recently.
No, so he's had Mansfield.
Mansfield was going all right, but he left and he had to go to Peterborough.
Yeah, and it didn't go well.
They kind of underperformed a bit.
Was he at Leeds before Mansfield?
Yeah, which is the one place I think that fans didn't actually hate him because they felt like he was. He was probably the good guy compared to the owner.
A good fit,
yeah.
For Leeds as well.
I know he'd done well when we were in League Two at Crawley. He had the comment where we went to Crawley away. I think they ran away with the league at the time. And he come out and said, Gillingham fans supported like they've won the World Cup. And then we played them at our place. We beat them and we were singing we've won the World Cup.
Yeah.
He's not the most popular, but not just amongst Gillingham fans, but
just
football fans in general.
Fans, like,
but he has had these misdemeanours with Gillingham fans, hasn't he? When he got a couple arrested last two seasons ago.
I think three fans singing arrested.
We won't sing the song now, but there is a song that most people will know that gets banned around when Evans is around. And he apparently identified three or four of our fans and they got, I don't know if they got cautioned or what, but they definitely
got
arrested.
They definitely got spoken to, but hopefully nothing comes of it. It's all stupid, isn't it? But yeah, I know, like, I worked with a Millwall fan who, when Evans was in charge of Rotherham and they stayed up and Millwall went down, he said that Evans was really, you know, making abusive comments about them going down.
Like, two or three games before the end of the season, I think Rotherham were looking more likely to start than Millwall. He made some comment and Millwall stayed up, and I thought it was like Lee Gregory was interviewed after the game. He sang about, yeah, this one's for Steve Evans, enjoy League One, mate. Something along them lines.
Yeah, so like he said, if Evans is our manager, he'll want us to go down.
Yeah, and
I think a few fans had.
We mentioned earlier about the podcast that we listened to. I don't know how far into you are, but I've listened to a few now from players who have played under him, and they're not positive. David Noble might not be a very well known name, ex Arsenal, Watford, Rotherham, he's been around the lower leagues.
Was he Colchester as well?
No, I don't think so. When he was at Boston with Evans, when Gascoigne went in, David Noble was going to leave, then found out Gascoigne was coming, so thought, I'll hang around, see what this is all about. They're doing free kick training. Evans goes, no, you're all right, Gaz, I've got this, mate, you get in nets. Put Gazza in goal. He's got one of England's greatest players there, he's at his disposal. He's put him in goal. Evans is teaching him how to take free kicks. He said he ended had a fallout with him. He said a few years later, he was released from, I can't remember where he was now, might have been, you know, he ended up at Rotherham under Evans again. And he said he hadn't changed. He said Evans was trying to sell it to him, saying, I've changed, I'm not this, I'm not that. He said within 3 or 4 weeks, exactly the same, he wanted out again.
He quite often
says that when things aren't going well, Evans brings up Crawley.
Mm.
And the players are laughing at him, going, bloody hell, you're not at Crawley now, mate. Like, again, at Crawley, he was bankrolled there, wasn't he? They had loads of money that season. So it's not just him. There are other players whose podcasts I've listened to and they don't paint him a very nice picture.
Mm. Well, I think as much as we don't like him and, you know, we're back the club, but we won't back him necessarily, it looks as if he's coming in and we're just have to see where it takes us, I guess, won't we?
I mean, I've got a feeling it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah, very bumpy. I mean, you know, if he gets us performing on the pitch, you know, we're not going to suddenly be his best mate, are we? But
No, at all. It's like you say, I think even if he won the league, I still don't think the majority of fans would like him. There's a small minority who are just so desperate for him not to be a club legend that they seem to be desperate and think Evans is the answer.
Yeah, but there's some that have openly said they'd boycott if it is Evans.
There's quite a few tweets to the club, haven't there, saying, can you up and announce him so I can get a refund on my season ticket?
Yeah.
You know, he's really not liked around here. Yeah. But
each to their own. I'd like personally couldn't do that, though. Like,
but no, I will still go. I'm not a fan of the guy. Never have been, never will be. I will still go. Like you, I don't think fans will be seeing his name too soon.
It would be interesting to have a chat with him, though, I think, because
I think he'd just spout a load of bollocks, to be honest.
I don't know. I think he probably would, but I'm like, if you had a chat with him, I wonder what he's like. Like, wonder how open and like whether is he a bit pantomime villain? Does he play up to it a bit?
Yeah, I do, and that bugs me. I think he does. I think Neil Warnock's done it in the past as well, where they know they're not liked, so they play up a bit. I don't agree with that. I think he brings a lot of bad publicity with him.
Yeah, true. But we'll just have to watch this space, and maybe by the next time that we record it, if we haven't had a load of negative comments telling us never to bother with this kind of stuff again, we can talk more about it. So that's kind of all the Jules chat really at the moment. Obviously, it's been a few weeks since.
Yeah, we've made no signings. We're still out on the retain list. So,
still got a bit of football going on at the moment, though. We've got the FA Cup final coming up today in a few hours between Man City and Watford. Probably Man City.
Probably only going to go one way. I'd like to see Watford do it, but no, I don't think they will. I can see it being convincing as well. 2-3
Yeah, now. I think if Watford like hold out until second half, it might make it a bit more nervy, but I think City are just class, aren't they?
I think they've got too much about them, yeah.
It says a lot about them that even though they went 1-1 to Brighton, 83 seconds, level again, half time in front, and then never looked back after that, did they?
Was it 11 minutes, wasn't it, between them going behind and being
front? So, yeah, I think they're going to pick up the trophy today at Wembley. You've been watching the playoffs this week. I've not seen much of them.
No, the only one I haven't seen was the 0-0 Newport Mansfield. I didn't watch any of that one, but I've seen the rest. And last night's, I think, was the best one so far. Charlton Doncaster. I mean, Derby Leeds the other night, that was good, but for League One last night, that was a cracking advert, end to end. Both teams going for it. Both teams missed some good chances, and a lot of them have been. There's been a lot of late goals this week. There's a chance that the final's going to be decided the same way. A lot of them, they're all evenly matched teams, I think, going into the finals.
So that's all next weekend. So does it start for the League 2-1 on the Saturday, I think?
Yeah, I think it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's normally League 2 first. So I was absolutely buzzing for Mickey Flynn.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's Newport.
I'm hoping at Newport.
And not only that, we've been to Tranmere, haven't we, years ago?
Yeah.
Rather go to Newport.
Tuesday night, I think we lost 2-3 didn't we?
Yeah, under Stimson, if I remember right.
Yeah, long trip back, that one. So what are your predictions? So Newport or Tranmere?
Newport for me.
What, think they'll win or 1-0?
Yeah, I think it'd be close. It'd be the odd goal. Maybe 2-1 Newport.
In the one-off games, Newport do all right, though, don't they? Like,
have they done well in the cup games? Yeah.
So I'm thinking they might snatch it, but I'm just thinking James Norwood up front, like, quality banging.
They've already been linked to Ipswich, I think, who are coming down to our league.
Yeah, and Ipswich also today been linked to Holy.
I've just
seen,
yeah.
I think that'd be quite a good move. I can see him going there as well.
But if he goes there and Bielkowski still is my number two, and for me he needs to go somewhere as my number one.
Would he stay there though, the current Ipswich number one, do you reckon?
From what I was reading on the comments, apparently he's saying he will. He's saying all the right things, but the fans think he'll be off.
Yeah, so Holy potential replacement for him then. So after League 2, we've got the League 1 final on the Sunday between Charlton and
Sunderland.
That'd be didn't they play each other in like 1999 when they had that?
Yeah, they were saying it last night. It's been like 21 years or something.
Yeah, Clive Mendonca hat trick.
Yeah.
Mickey Gray missed the penalty.
Yeah, and Mickey Gray's going to be at Sky Sports presenting it as well.
Yeah, that shows our age as well, the fact that we can just recall Clive Mendonca's name. Clive Mendonca. I'd like Sunderland to go up. I've kind of grown a bit affection with them from the Netflix documentary coming down to our grand.
I wanted to stay down because we didn't get to go there this season. So
yeah, it's true, but I'd rather have games against Charlton. Home and away against Charlton, I'd rather have.
I like the atmosphere of those games, yeah.
But yeah, my stepdad's a Newcastle fan, so...
So you've got to go for Charlton.
I shouldn't say it, but yeah, I have grown to like Sunderland a little bit from earlier in the season. And then the Championship game on the London.
You have predictions, League One. What are you thinking?
I think Sunderland.
I think it's going to be 1-0 either way, but I couldn't... Yeah, tough to call which way.
Be a close one. And then the Monday Championship.
Aston Villa Derby.
I want Derby.
I'm a little bit bored of seeing both up there, to be honest.
Derby haven't been there for a few years.
No, but they were rubbish the last time, weren't they?
No, and I think... Whatever one of them go up, I think they'd come straight back down, to be honest. I think there's such a gap now that even if you get promoted, you know, what Fulham spent close to 100 million last year.
Look at Wolves, they spent... I mean, they had a good side anyway, they added to it and they've done really well this season.
Yeah, I just don't think either of them have enough for the Premiership, but...
You could say the same about the other two. I think Norwich and Sheffield United are both going to struggle.
Mm.
Chuff for Sheffield United, chuff for John Egan.
Yeah.
But I'd be very surprised if two of them three stay up next season.
But yeah, I'd like Derby. I quite like Frank Lampard as a manager.
If Lampard gets him up, he'd be Chelsea manager in 2-3 seasons tops.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah.
But it's like he's built a team. It's not just full of youngsters, though. You've got experience there. Richard Keogh's in there. Scott Carson, that's what I mean. Like, it's perfect.
I mean, Tom Huddleston's still going down there.
Yeah, Tom Huddleston as well. So they've still got a few decent players. It'd be good to see him up. And again, my granddad's a Birmingham fan, so I've got some weird supporting family members.
Mine are all Manchester based, yours are all over the place.
Yeah, so for my granddad, it has to be Derby for me.
I will say Derby just because I like watching Mason Mount. It's really good to get over there. Yeah,
and Harry Wilson as well. That free kick earlier in the season at Old Trafford.
Which one? There's been a few, isn't
it? Yeah, the one at Old Trafford. I like that. And then next week, also Champions League and Europa League.
Yeah, finals. Four English teams.
Yeah, should be interesting.
Really tough to call.
Europa League, I feel a bit sorry for the Arsenal and Chelsea fans. While I'm making it...
Well, you say that, but I'm sure I've just read today in one of the papers that Chelsea are struggling to sell their allocation.
Arsenal are as well. I work with an Arsenal.
It's not a nice place to go, for what I've
read. It's so difficult to get to.
Yeah.
That's why. Like, a lot of them are having to get coaches that are just going to take, I think, days, literally. But my mate's booked a flight, and he's booked onto this flight, but he's not guaranteed that it's actually going to fly.
Oh, brilliant.
It depends if they've got enough people, so
he's got a ticket
and everything, but he doesn't know if he's actually going to be able to
get there. We did that a couple of years ago, didn't we? We booked to go to Morocco, not just us two, it was five of us, but we booked to go to Morocco, and then a month before we were due to fly, it got cancelled because the flight wasn't full. Yeah.
So he's all set, he's got the accommodation, the ticket, and it just...
That's a big risk.
Mm. Unlike Mr. T, he's hoping he's getting on that plane. And then the other all-English final, Liverpool-Tottenham Champions League.
I think both games are going to be decent.
I think Liverpool-Tottenham should hopefully be more decent. Harry Kane should be fit. Wow. He's been named in the Nations League squad,
hasn't he? Yeah, they're going to rush him back again.
It does feel a bit bizarre that either Harry Kane or Jordan Henderson will be lifting the Champions League final.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's when you think say it like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite bizarre. I think it'd be more bizarre for Jordan Henderson to lift it. Like when Gerrard lifted it, iconic captain. Henderson's a decent bloke and he seems all right, but a bit weird if he's lifting the Champions League final. Right, so come to the end, really, of our first pod.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone on for 34 minutes.
Wow. I mean, anyone that's listened to this...
Fair play.
Fair play to you. We're new to this. To be honest, we don't know what we're doing. We're probably rambling a bit. But if you've got any questions...
Or if you've got any ideas of what you'd like us to talk about. I mean, we don't know how regular this is going to be yet. It depends what the feedback's like. Yeah.
So, as usual, we've got the Twitter page, Deals in the Blood TV Twitter page. We've got our own Twitter accounts as well. Mine's StuffyD_14.
Mine's Mark W. Boz.
Yeah, so feel free to give us a tweet on either of them. And as I said, we've got the Deals in the Blood Facebook page as well. Yeah, so just let us know if you like it, what you like, what you don't like. Hopefully we'll keep it going and the interest is there.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add, Boz?
No, I think we're good.
Do you want to sign off? I'll let you sign off.
You gonna let me sign off?
Yeah.
All right, well, obviously, as you always do, keep liking, retweeting, all that jazz with the YouTube channel. Till next time, up the Jules.